This is Fresh Air. Should we continue to celebrate works of art, books, paintings, films, made by human beings who've done terrible things? If you don't have a ready-made answer to that question, our book critic Maureen Corrigan has a book to recommend. It's called Monsters. Here's her review.
Last month, I gave a talk at a conference in honor of the late writer Norman Mailer. When I mentioned this conference in class to my Georgetown students, a couple of them blurted out, "But he stabbed his wife." I could feel the mood in that classroom shifting. The students seemed puzzled, disappointed even. What was I doing speaking at a conference in honor of a man capable of such an act? The situation was reversed at the conference itself, when I confessed in my talk that, much as I revere Mailer's nonfiction writing, I was just as glad never to have met him. Some audience members were taken aback, offended on Mailer's behalf. If Mailer's writing had always been as bad as his sporadic behavior, there would be no problem. But as Claire Dieterer points out in her superb new book, Monsters, the problem arises when great art is made by men who've done bad things. Men like Picasso, Hemingway, Roman Polanski, Miles Davis, Woody Allen, and yes, Mailer. Do we put blinders on and just focus on the work? Do geniuses, as Dieterer asks, get a hall pass for their behavior? Or do we cancel the art of men and some women who've done monstrous things? I hope that Dieterer herself doesn't turn out to be a monster, because I flat out admire her book and want to share it with my students. As a thinker, Dieterer is smart, informed, nuanced, and very funny. She started out as a film critic and credits Pauline Kael as a model for grounding her judgments in her own subjectivity, her own emotions. The subtitle of Monsters is A Fan's Dilemma. The dilemma being still loving, say, the music of Wagner or Michael Jackson, still being caught up in movies like Chinatown or maybe even Manhattan. In short, Dieterer wants to dive deep into the murk of being unwilling to give up the work of art you love, and yet also being unwilling to look away from the stain of the monster who created it. The Me Too movement propels this exploration, but so too does our own social media biography-saturated moment. When I was young, Dieterer says, it was hard to find information about artists whose work I loved. Record albums and books appeared before us as if they had arrived after hurtling through space's black reaches, unmoored from all context. These days, however, we turn on Seinfeld, and whether we want to or not, we think of Michael Richards' racist rant. Biography used to be something you sought out. Now it falls on your head all day long. Maybe you can hear in those quotes how alive Dieterer's own critical language is. She also frequently flings open the door of the stuffy seminar room, so to speak, to take her readers along on field trips. There's a swank dinner in New York with an intimidating man of letters who, she says, likes to play the part, ironically but not, low-key misogyny and brown alcohol in a tumbler. When she expresses distaste for Woody Allen's Manhattan normalizing a middle-aged man in a relationship with a 17-year-old, he tells her to get over it. You really need to judge it on aesthetics. Dieterer confesses to finding herself put off balance in that conversation, doubting herself. We also march through a Picasso show in the company of Dieterer and her children. At the time, she says, they possess the fierce moral sense to be found in teenagers and maniacs, and were starting to look a bit nettled at the exhibit's disclosures of Picasso's abusive treatment of the women in his life. So where does all this walking and talking and thinking and reacting get us on the issues of monsters and their art? Still in the murk, perhaps, but maybe buoyed up a bit by a sharp question Diderer tosses out in the middle of her book. What if, Diderer asks, criticism involves trusting our feelings, not just about the crime, which we deplore, but about the work we love? To do that, we'll have to think and feel with much greater urgency and yet more care than we're currently doing. As Diderer suggests, and Pauline Kael famously did, we should go ahead and lose it at the movies, and then think hard about what we've lost.
Maureen Corrigan is a professor of English at Georgetown University. She reviewed Monsters, A Fan's Dilemma by Claire Diderer. On tomorrow's show, we'll talk with the New York Times' Alan Foyer about the conviction of leaders of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers on charges of seditious conspiracy and what that means for ongoing January 6th-related inquiries, including investigations into Donald Trump. I hope you can join us. Meanwhile, to keep up with what's on the show and get highlights of our interviews, follow us on Instagram at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Thea Challoner, Seth Kelly, and Susan Yakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.